shouting this thing and hurt anyone's ears, but thank you for welcoming my wife and I here today. It's great to be back here at your beautiful church. It's the drive here. We live in Dover, so the drive here is always it's always enjoyable because I actually grew up in this area. If you don't know me, I lived in Leesville as a young child and went to Conotton Valley. Actually rode the school bus with Brother Jim when we were younger, so we've known each other probably since the early 80s. But it's always nice to come back this direction and see the beautiful scenery and then make that turn off the highway and come up the hill. And it's just so amazing when you get to the top of the hill, the first thing you see after your eyes adjust from the sunlight is this beautiful church here. So it's such an honor and a blessing to be here today. So today, we're going to explore the theme of accepting God's grace and blessing others. So as we gather here today, I just want to remind you that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:29, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." And if you would please join me in prayer for this message today. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with humble hearts, seeking to understand your ways and to be filled with your abundant grace. Help us to recognize the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and to share them with others. May our words and actions be a reflection of your love and mercy. Amen. All right, so this morning, I want to go over some talking points on God's grace and how we are called to share our blessings with others. And since I've been here once before, but the delivery of my message, typically what I like to do is I like to present some points, and then I'll back it up with some scripture, and then maybe make a little analogy to kind of help bring that home. So I've got 6 points that I would like to talk about this morning about God's grace, and we'll go through these, and hopefully by the end of this, we will have a good idea of how amazing the grace of God is and why we should be going out and sharing our blessings with others. So first, let's talk about accepting God's grace. So just like a person who inherits a vast fortune, we are blessed by God's grace. Now, we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it because it's already ours. But just as we need to acknowledge the inheritance and receive it, we also need to recognize God's grace and accept it. And in John chapter 1, verse 16, it tells us, "From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." As we accept God's grace, we become more like him, and we are then empowered to live out our faith. So let's bring this home a little bit here. So think of a person who inherits a big, beautiful mansion. Now, they inherit it, and they have to choose whether they accept that inheritance and live in the mansion, or they can deny or ignore that inheritance, and they can just choose to, you know, live in their house or a small apartment. Nothing wrong with that, right? But that inheritance, that big mansion, is there, and if they want to move into it, they got to say, "I accept," and then they can move in. So likewise, when we accept God's grace, we are choosing to live in the mansion of God's presence. So that's why we have to accept God's grace. All right, next would be sharing God's blessings. So similar to a farmer who harvests a bountiful crop, we are called to share God's blessings with others. And Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities." So as we share our blessings with others, we demonstrate our faithfulness, and our trustworthiness to God. All right, so we talked about a farmer and his harvest. So picture that in your mind. You know, big farm, goes out, plants his crops, spends time growing, nurturing, and it's time for the harvest. It's a very good harvest. Now, this farmer has a choice. They can hoard all of that harvest for themselves, making sure that they've got all that they need, or they can share it with their neighbors. So when we share God's blessings with others, we're demonstrating our trust in God's provision and our desire to bless others. Okay, so next would be God's love and how it is unconditional. So how many of you in here are parents? Should be a lot, right? And I saw a lot of kids in here this morning. So as parents, we love our children unconditionally, right? And just like how we love our children unconditionally, God loves us without condition. If we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it tells us, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So as we accept God's love and blessings, we realize that they are not dependent on our performance or behavior. And I gotta be thankful for that, right? We should all be thankful that God's love is not dependent on that. Because think of a parent, right? You've got your child, you love them regardless of their accomplishments, what they've done well, you know, how good their grades are in school, how, you know, some kids get in trouble, they make mistakes sometimes, right? But it doesn't matter. They're our children. We love them unconditionally. There's nothing that stops us from loving our children. And it's because they're our child, right? So when we accept God's love and blessings, we're recognizing that they're not based on our worthiness, but instead it's based on God's love for us. Because we would be in a lot of trouble if God's love for us depended on what we did. So next would be God's blessings and how they're unending. So you may have to picture this one with me a little bit, but just imagine a water well that never runs dry. That's God's blessings for us. And Psalm 23:5 says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." So as we receive God's blessings, we can trust that they'll never run out. So if we think about that well that never runs dry, even when we reach the bottom, there's always more water available. And if you think about the miracle, when I was writing this and I was thinking about this this well that never runs dry, just the entire picture of how the whole water system itself works. Think of the blessing that God gave us with that. We have this beautiful planet that we live on, that God created for us, that has a system. Rain falls from the sky. It touches the ground. It filters through the rock that God created. It gathers in place. By the way, the rock cleans it up, filters it out. It gathers in places underground. Sometimes it runs on the surface. Sometimes it gathers in the ground. We pull the water out. We use the water. We drink the water. We use it to grow crops. We use it for many things that we need to use it for. And then that water evaporates, goes back up into the sky. And then it rains. And it comes back down again. So, although sometimes we may not be able to imagine a well that we drilled into the ground that never runs out of water, we can think about that cycle that God created for us and how amazing it is. First of all, could we have come up with a system that worked like that? Yes. So God has given us this blessing, and it just like the natural cycle of water, it never stops. It just keeps going. So when we receive God's blessings, we can trust that they will never run out. All right, God's blessings are meant to be shared. This is my next point. So just like a song, it's meant to be shared with others. God's blessings are also meant to be shared with others. In Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 and 2, it says, "May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere." So as we receive God's blessings, we're called to share them with others so they can know and experience God's love as well. So I made a point about a song that's meant to be shared. We sang songs together this morning. Somebody wrote those songs. Any musicians in the house this morning? So if you play an instrument, if you write music, or if you sing, there's very few people that do that, that just want to do it in a little room by themselves. They don't learn to play the instrument. They don't write music. They don't come up with songs and sing them so they can just hear themselves. Right? Most people that create music want to share it with other people. And likewise, if we want to share music with other people and God gives us these blessings, wouldn't we want to share those with others as well? If you are blessed with something, whether it's a bountiful crop, whether you're blessed with a talent or a skill, whether God's just given you the ability to smile at someone and make their day a little bit better, wouldn't you want to share that? Not all of us can get up and move around the way that we'd like to. I know I sure would like to be able to get up and move around like I did 20 years ago, but I can't. Right? So, but I know that I can still move around better than some others. So if somebody needed some help getting something, or maybe they needed some help carrying something. My wife needs help carrying laundry downstairs all the time. She moves around a lot better than I do. I don't like stairs. I've had a knee partially replaced, and I'm still recovering from an Achilles surgery. But I'm able to go up and down the stairs. And I'd like to think I'm a little bit stronger than her, at least holding the laundry baskets, right? She's definitely mentally tough. But I know that I can carry that heavy basket of laundry down to the basement floor. I'm not doing the laundry, thankfully. Not because I can't do laundry, but I've been told many times that the way I do laundry is not the way you're supposed to do laundry. I have a system. It works, but I guess it's only necessary if it's the only option. So, I have the ability to do stuff. So, when I can, I share. I can play music. I can sing. At my home church, I'm part of our praise team. They say, "Can you play drums this week?" Sure. "Can you play guitar?" Yep. "Can you play the piano?" Yeah. "Will you sing?" Yeah. I've been given that gift by God, so I'm going to share it and use it for his glory, which is what we should all be doing. So if you're given a blessing by God, make sure that you are sharing it the best that you can. And my next point is that God's blessings are not limited. So I'll go back to talking about that endless a supply of water from a well or a spring, because I already kind of put that in your head. So God's blessings, though, are not limited by what we can see or experience. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And as we receive God's blessings, we can trust that they're not limited by what we can see or experience, but that they are a part of a greater plan for our lives. Imagine, if you could, if the blessings that God gave us were merely based on the things that we could see or our experiences, because every individual's experiences are different. What we can see, the way that we do see things. And if the blessings that God gave us were merely on that, I don't know that half of us would even realize our potential or be able to comprehend what we have in order to use it. So if we think of a spring that bubbles up from the earth, it doesn't stop flowing just because someone has tapped into it. It keeps flowing because it's got an endless source of water from deep within the earth. So when we receive God's blessings, so we don't, when we tap into a well in the earth, and I explained to you the water cycle, right? But do we have to see it or experience it for it to work? I mean, we see the rain. And these days, most of us have a little tap in many places in our home that we can just turn and water comes out. Now, some of us in this room may understand that process really well, but, all my kids are adults now, but still, if I went to any of my kids and said, "Explain to me how that water came out of my faucet into this glass," they would have no idea. And if any of you have spent any time online where you've seen, there's some incredibly dangerous stuff online, but there are occasionally some things that are humorous that you can get a good laugh out of. And you see people talking about, I saw one probably a month ago or so ago where the comment was, it was a person who was a vegetarian or a vegan, I don't recall which one, but they were complaining about, how it was harmful to, slaughter the animal for the meat, that you should just go to the store to get it where it's more humane, right? So, when they don't have a full understanding of how that got there. And likewise, if God's blessings on us depended on us being able to understand and see and experience everything in order to get it, well, we probably wouldn't get any blessings. I don't know how well we see and understand everything. I know I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if I didn't experience how water worked. Right? I know it rained. I know we had a well down in the ground, and I know I had a pump that was powered by electricity that pulled the water up out of the ground. So that I knew that because that was electric. But what happened before electric pumps? I'm not sure. I remember the old crank ones. I've seen them. And I even seen water come out of one, but I couldn't tell you how that really worked. I'm sure it was probably similar to the electric pump. I don't know. Before that, I think people just went down to the river and put water in buckets, right? I don't know. But if me getting the blessing of having running water in my house depended on me understanding how that worked, I would probably walk down to the river behind my house with a bucket to scoop up water every day, because I wouldn't know how it worked. And if you live in the city like I do, it doesn't work like a well in the ground with an electric pump that pulls it up, right? So thankfully, we don't have to rely on our own understanding of how things work in order to receive these blessings from God. So I'm gonna start to wrap up this morning, but I want to say that I think in these points you can see that accepting God's grace and blessing others is not just about receiving blessings, but it's about sharing them, right? We all receive blessings, but when we get them, we go out and we share them with others. It's about recognizing that God's love is unconditional and unending, and that his blessings, they're meant to be shared with others so that they can know and experience his love as well. So as Christians, I think it's important that we've accepted God's grace as an inheritance, that we've shared his blessings with others, that we recognize that God's love is unconditional, and that we've seen that his blessings are unending. I also think that it's important that we realize that his blessings are meant to be shared, and that we can understand that they're not limited just by the things that we know, that we experience, and that we've seen. So I challenge you all today to think of the many blessings that you have in your lives today, and how you can go out into your communities, into your towns, into your homes, and how you can share those, whether it's someone in your house, whether it's someone down the street, whether it's a complete, absolute stranger. I've said before, because I used to be a youth director, and I used to tell the kids that one of the nicest things that they can do when they walk into church every Sunday is a smile. Because everybody loves to see a young person that's smiling. And the more I see kids these days, the more rare that seems to be. First of all, you have to get them to look up, right? Because it's very common when you see kids, they're looking down. Hey, when you come in the building, your phone's there. It'll be there in 5 minutes. When you walk in, have it down, put it in your pocket, right? Head up, look at people, smile, say good morning. My daughter, she's our youngest. If I could play a video of her sitting in my house, she talks nonstop. She is hyper. She's loud. Some people could say at times she could be obnoxious, but she's a ball of energy and 100 miles an hour. We walk in the church, head down. She barely looks at people. If someone says hi to her, she goes, "Oh, hi." Right? I don't want to make fun of my daughter. She's a great kid, but I have to remind her sometimes, like, "Hey, someone just said hello to you." She's like, "Oh, I saw him." But, it does sometimes end up being that simple. A smile, a wave, a handshake, a hello, a thank you. We have the ability to do it. I had a lesson one time about blessings with our youth group as I finished this up here this morning. And I told them that at night, when you're in prayer and you're thanking God for the blessings in your life, I asked them, tell me some of the stuff that you think of. What are your blessings? And they gave me stuff that you could imagine. You know, I got cool shoes. I'm doing well in school. My mom's nice and my dad's funny. They would say stuff like that. And then I'd say, let's make a big list. Let's see if we can get 20, 30 things on here. Well, they get about 5 or 6 deep, and then they have to really start thinking. And I started helping them out. I said, you guys brush your teeth in the morning? Yep. Okay, cool. Have you ever thought of that as a blessing? No. I'm like, there's people in the world that don't have a toothbrush, that don't have toothpaste, that don't have running water to put on their toothbrush before they put on the toothpaste to brush their teeth. That's something that all of us probably don't think about on a day-to-day basis as a blessing. But even small things like that are blessings to us. Now, that doesn't mean go out and share your toothbrush. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we have those types of blessings. If you get involved in programs, Christmas Child, I don't want to say the wrong one, but you know, you fill the shoe boxes, right? They put stuff in there, toiletries in there that they send out, right? It's not just about shirts and coloring books and some toys, but there might be toothbrushes in there. And somebody opens that and they're like, "Oh, wow, I had one of these once. Sure beats pulling a leaf off a tree and scrubbing my teeth with it," right? So, we can bless people in many ways. We don't have to always open up our wallets and start handing out money. We don't have to sacrifice our time unendingly where we're working ourselves to death. Sometimes it is just as simple as a gesture. But regardless of what your blessings are, take the time to make sure that you're thanking God for his grace, for his blessings, and that you're taking time to share those with others. And if you would indulge me, I do just want to close this sermon with a quick prayer as we give thanks to God for all that he's done. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abundant grace and blessings in our lives. Help us to accept them freely and share them with others so that they can know and experience your love as well. May our words and actions be a reflection of your love and mercy. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.